to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to Saints, the Soul of India. Today we continue this series from where we left off in the previous episode of this program. It is the time to dwell on Rama, and in the previous episode we started this beautiful discussion on how Tyagaraja attained Rama through his Nada Yoga, how music was such a powerful medium for him to merge with Rama. He attained that final union with Rama only by singing his heart out to Rama. And as he did this, he left precious lessons for us through his songs, through his kritis. And when we dwell on his kritis, you get actually a beautiful elaboration, an essay of how to reach the Lord through this powerful medium of bhajan. We started this discussion with Brother Kota Shiv Kumar, and we dwelt on this Navabhidha Nada Yoga of Tyagaraja. We started with Smaranam, Kirtanam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So these three is what we started our discussion with, and the previous episode we covered Shravanam and a little bit of Kirtanam. Today we continue with Tyagaraja's way of Kirtanam and Smaranam, and how he attained the Lord. What are the precious lessons that we learn from a life as exalted as Tyagaraja? The mention of Tyagaraja always used to fill Bhagwan's eyes with water. That much Tyagaraja has captured the heart of the Lord. And there is, if we can experience in our life, even for a few seconds, those Tyagaraja moments, we would experience the bliss of connecting with the Divine. So let's move on and dwell on this beautiful journey of Tyagaraja, this devotional musical journey of Tyagaraja. So over now to the second part of the conversation that I had with Brother Kota Shiv Kumar on Navabhidha Nada Yoga of Tyagaraja.
Saint Tyagaraja is credited with a new form of yoga called Nada Yoga. He is saying that people, if they take up music and by meditating on the Nada itself, like Swami says, like Satchidananda, he says, he also describes the Parabrahman as Nada Bindukala.
Yes.
So Nada is an established way of reaching our Tattva, our self. And then that is easily done through music. That's the greatness of music. In fact, that's why at some place, a great Vagekara said that out of the Chatusashti Kalas, which means 64 art forms that are there, everything is an art, which is kala, but he says only music is not only an art but a vidya. What is vidya? Vidya means that alone can be called vidya, which can liberate you. Not physics and geography. That alone can be called vidya, that can liberate you. And he says music can do that. And that's why we say that Sisurveti, Pasurveti, Veti, Ganarasam, Fani. A child responds to music. Pasurveti, the cow responds to music. The animal responds to music. And what have they learned? Which music college did they go to? What did they learn? Nothing. So, isn't it enough proof that music is there in everyone? What is divinity? Child. Who taught a child to move about or enjoy something? Why is it coming up like that? Which means the music is there. But how is this music coming? Tyagaraja now gives the inner description saying that the prananala is there in everybody. And the prananala, when the samyoga is happening, because of that synergy, what is born is pranavananda, omkaram. So this is the birth of manifestation. This is the birth of creation. Because before that, even sound, the omkaram, what is there? The soundless, the primordial, the brahmam. From there, because of this energy shaking the vibration, first the nadam is born, the sound om is born, pranavanada, and the om, like a white light, disperses and gives rise to seven colors. It comes out and disperses, and then sarigama padani is done. So, for the sarigama padani to express themselves, this entire reed or the pipe is there, the auditory pipe is there, right from, we can visualize, from the, almost from the stomach, from this nabi kind of thing to the till nasika. So in a different kriti, actually, where that kriti is called Sobhillu Saptaswara Sundaralanu Bhajimpave Manasa.
Sobhillu Saptaswara Sobhillu Saptaswara Sobhillu Saptaswara
says, the seven kritis, he says, the saptaswaras are like seven beautiful devas, he says. Who is a deva? Deva is divya, swarupa is deva. Deva doesn't mean that somebody who is wearing a crown and somebody who is wearing, that's all mythological. Deva, in actual Sanskrit means divya. Divya means divine. Divine means something that is of a different order, not the worldly order, not the manifested. So, saptaswaras, he says, are divine. And in what way are they divine? They are stationed in every human being at different levels, starting from the navel, right from the, like the chakras that they talk about, brother. Like they're stationed like the chakras. If you cut the body, can you see the chakras? You won't see the chakras physically. Similarly, if you cut the body, can you hear? No, that's not in that sense. They're divine. They're in an unmanifest form with respect to the auditory capability of human ear. Human ear can listen to only, he can hear only 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. Science students know this. Whereas, the sounds that are there, anahatam and all that, is much, much more subtle. You can't listen. So just because the auditory range doesn't capture it, doesn't mean that it's not a sound. This is the first fundamental mistake we make. Okay. So the sounds are there. The anahatam is there. So all that is coming up. But once it manifests, because of this limited thing called the tongue and the mouth and the buccal cavity, and like a tuning fork, it keeps moving. And because of all the nature that it comes out, what we hear is what we call sound outside, the auditory sound. So this is of a particular nature. The way it is constructed, it comes out in a particular way. But Chagraja talks about what is happening before that. And these saptaswaras, he says, is that nabhi, which means this navel point, nabhi, hrid, which is that the heart desam, which is called slightly under this, the lungs part and all, hrid, kanta, and then neck part, the kanta, nabhi, hrid, kanta, rasana, the tongue, nasadula, which is the nose. He says, these are the five places from which the seven swaras come.
Fantastic.
Now, if you go through the sound of in physics, they will easily tell you why the different frequencies are coming out and which place they are being created from. And you'll exactly fit in. It exactly fits in. That's how nabhi hrut kanta rasana. That's why the deepest of the sounds comes from within nabhi. That's why they say that you should bring out the voice from it. The guru trains ishyas to bring out the voice from inside, deep within.
From the navel.
From the navel. So that is coming from nabhi hrut kanta rasana nasadu. But there are some sounds which look so beautiful only if you produce from nose. It doesn't mean that, you know, like they could be nishadam, they could be the higher sounds, they could be whatever.
Yes.
Okay. So, such a beautiful Nabi Hrutkantarasana Nasadula Yandu Shobila Saptaswara when he says in Jagannmohini, now we'll understand in the Moksha Mugalada what he says. He says, Prananala Samyogamuvalana, Pranavanada Saptaswaramulai Paraga. They've started, Paraga means they've started, they've come out, they manifested from this primordial sound, Omkaram. And the seven swaras are coming out, he says, if you know how to practice it and then. But, most important thing, why is this linked up to liberation? He says, Veena Vadana Loludau, Siva Mano Vidham Berungaru Tyagarajanuta. Suddenly he brings up the concept that Shiva Manor, Shiva. Now if you look at the mythological aspect of Shiva, Veena Vadana, he says Shiva is playing a Veena. Did anybody ever see Shiva playing a Veena? Did you see any picture or any description where you see that Lord Shiva was playing a Veena? No. You see him playing a damru, see him doing something else, but not a Veena. So what is Saint Tyagaraja talking about here? He says, Veena Vadana. Now you say that every human being, the body, is like a Veena in the hands of Shiva. Which means each one is an instrument. Through Nada Yoga, if you know how to generate this primordial energy of Omkaram, from that the seven swaras are coming through Nada Yoga, he says then, you are nothing but an instrument like Veena in the hands of the Lord, which is the Shiva Tattva in you, and it is playing on these seven steps, or the Sapta Chakras, and Sastra Chakras, and it is doing the notes. And he says, that person who has understood this technique I am talking about science, he says, such a person is Jivan Mukta.
Wow.
That's what he says in this. Therefore, if they don't know this, he says, Moksha Mugalada. Again, you come back to the Pallavi and you have to ask the question, if this is not known, then is there any moksha?
So if someone has to achieve moksha through music, this is the path.
Exactly. One is when you sing music for the sake of the world, it is called kala or art. You make money out of it, you get the fame out of it, you get popularity out of it. But when you practice it as vidya, it's a totally different dimension. It is only for yourself, reaching yourself, and for that the path is totally different. So, Tyagaraja only proposed that. That's the reason why when in his life and the king Saraboja sent all those riches to him. Little story. Can I take 2 minutes
Please,
to explain
sure.
the story here? See, what happened is, Saint Tyagaraja learnt a little bit of music because any art form should be learnt Gurumukha, through Gurumukha. So, Guru is required physically to learn. So, there's this, his guru called Sonti Venkatramanaya Garu in Tanjavur, to whom his father took him. His father wanted him to be actually Sanskrit Vyakarana Pandita and then an astrologer, Tyagaraja's father. But Tyagaraja was so much enchanted with music, and then Ramadasa particularly was his idol. He used to really idolize Ramadasa and Potana. These were two role models for Tyagaraja, Potana, Bhamira Potana and then Ramadas. And at the age of 8 or 9, they say, Tyagaraja composed his first song and he wrote it down on, he did not have something to write. His father went out to an outstation and then meanwhile he composed a song and then he wrote it on a wall. And the father came back and then he read that and he asked, whose Kriti is this? He says, I wrote, but yeah, I know you wrote, but whose Kriti? He says, I don't, I just wrote. Then he was amazed. He said, did you write it by yourself? He said, yes, it came out and I wrote. Then he understood. It was so beautifully lyrically written as well as it was fitting into the Sangeeta Bhavam.
The meter.
The meter part, the chandas and all that. He understood his son is not, he has that spark. Therefore, now he changed his mind and took him to Sonti Venkatramanaya Bhagavatar. And he said, please train him in music, you are the best person. So he learned for a few years under him. And then he was one of those many disciples, Sonti Venkatramanaya Bhagavatar. And then he went away. So the Guruji never heard about the Shisha again. Because the Shisha was a very low-key person. He would never come out. He would never come out. He was very, very clear right from his very young age that what he has come for and then what he should do. So never look for any popularity. Never look for any publication. Nothing. Therefore, things were going on. But one day, it so happened that the compositions of Tyagaraja started becoming popular and then the Guruji heard that his disciple is composing. So he invites the disciple home and then he says, why don't you come for lunch? So he calls him for lunch and he says, why don't you, his wife, the Guru Patni, is serving, already started serving, and he thought for 5 minutes or something he'll make his Shishya sing before they go for lunch. And he says, why don't you sing Tyagaraja? And then Tyagaraja was full of tears. He says, Guru asking me to sing, there cannot be anything bigger than this. He says, and then he sings, he does the Ragalapana in the Bilahari, and then he sings Dorakuna Ituvanti Seva. This is a very major composition of Tyagaraja, Dorakuna in Bilahari.
Dorakuna Ituvanti Seva.
When he did the alapana and he sang the song went on for about 2 hours. And the Guruji could not come out of the trance for another 1 hour. From that, and the food was served there and nobody thought about the food. Nobody could disturb. What I am telling you right now is based on what I heard from people who did research on Tyagaraja, who have a PhD on Tyagaraja and who have taken actually excerpts from his life. So I am able to talk about it a little authentically from this basis. And when he says that, my God, and immediately it seems he runs to his father's home. Chonti Venkatramana Garu had a father who was a great pandit in the court of King Sarabhoja. He goes home and father was having his dinner at that time. And when his son comes home, he says that he's in the same village. Come, why don't you, your mother will serve you. He says, I'm not thinking about it right now. I want you to listen to a song of my Sisha. He says, yeah, I will listen. What's the big deal? First come and sit. He says, no, first tell me, give me a word that you listen to my Sisha. And then he says, okay, I listen. And he says, not now, because it's not the right time. And he says, tomorrow, there are about 40 composers and court musicians of Sarabhoja Maharaja who are coming to my house, because all of us are going to Sarabhoja Maharaja. He has asked us to come, because there is some event there. And they are all coming here. They will be here for 1 hour before we leave. And therefore, during that time, I will ask, because some of them will be singing, I will give a chance to your Swisha. He says, fine. So, a stage is set up and 40 very senior musicians, they are all sitting there. See, why I am telling all this story is that how Swami then or now, how Swami takes a bhaktas, whether the bhakta wants it or not, how he brings him to limelight, because it has to happen. You know, Tyagaraja never wanted all this. So the 40 court musicians are sitting and Tyagaraja is brought. They ask Tyagaraja to sit on that stage. The Tyagaraja just is, he's such a humble person. So he just says that, how can I? He says, these people are sitting as audience, how can I? He says, no, you have to sit. And then because, he says, this is my instruction, the old man says, and then sit and sing for us. And he sits there. And then he sang Kamboji Ragam. Actually, a lot of people say that he sang Endro Mahanubhavulu. It's not true that he sang Endro Mahanubhavulu there, according to research. He did not sing Endro Mahanubhavulu there. He sang, he did Kamboji Ragam, because Kamboji is supposed to be a heavy ragam and then the standard ragam, which actually is a hallmark of a great musician. They say that someone who can expand and then sing Kamboji properly is a proper musician. That's the kind of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are some ghana ragas like that. Yes. You know? So he sings that, and it seems the research says that the ragalapana went out for about 4 hours.
Wow.
And then the kriti, and then, so for almost 6 hours, all the court musicians, everybody who had to go to the king's court within 1 hour because they had an assignment, they say, that's not that important. They sit there and then they just are so transfixed by Tyagaraja's. And then rest is history. So, when they don't go next day, when they go and then tell Sarabhoja king that this is the reason why we couldn't come, Sarabhoja can't stand. Because he was a true patron of music and all. He says, I want to listen. And he says, but Chandra Gautama says, Tyagaraja won't come like this. It's not the way you can happen. So, then he sends, as a token advance, he sends so much of gold, jewelry, money. and he says, you will have to accept this. That's when the greatest composition in Kalyani Ragam, Chagaraja does, Nidhi Jala Sukama, Ramani Sannidhi Seva Sukama. And where, who is he talking to? Again, the mind. Nizamuga Palkumu Manasa. Who is talking? The Jiva is talking to the mind. Please tell me, you decide. Because the Chagaraja's Jiva is never confused, the Buddhi is never confused, the Manas is confused. The Manas, with because of its vagaries and because of its standards of the world, now when the money comes, for a minute it is thinking, oh, maybe I should go for the Toyota car, maybe I should go for this, I should go for that. The mind is always. So, Chagaraja is depicting the real issues for any sadhaka, any of us. For him it could be very, very less. In that moment where a king sends a word, 200 years back, if you imagine, the greatest power in any sovereign is a king.
Yes.
And then, today if we are all in employment, if we are for a few rupees, we all, if a boss calls or whatever, we'll stop anything and then go there. Why? It's not because we respect boss or we worship him. It's just because for us that livelihood is more important. We all know that. And when this is the truth in all our life, we can therefore understand what is Tyagaraja's plight. He was living in actually penury and then misery from a financial point of view. This is a turning point in his life. Like, you know, the same things are happening in everybody's life. But we are all accepting the what the world is giving us as the sirens, and then we are actually transforming our lives. And then, of course, it takes a little longer time sometimes perhaps to go through that. Tyagaraja was so clear right from the beginning. He says that, I don't need this. But he was a very humble person who actually has a perspective of doing it. And therefore, the way it comes out is again for posterity to enjoy this beautiful song called Nidhi Jala Sukama.
Yes.
And what a beautiful comparison. He says that, Dadi Navanita Sukama. He says that, which is better? He says, is a dip in Ganga good and then refreshing for you? Or is it good to go to that salty water near your house which is coming in a well and then go and take a dip there? See, this is the comparison he gets. Or he says, on one side, if you are getting amrutam, and then somebody is serving you amrutam, would you like to go for that? Or he says, would you want to take buttermilk and then curd that is being served in your house? He says, you decide. So, he's bringing out the eternal conflict in a human mind, the decision making. He says, are you settling for this short-term temporary thing, or are you settling for the long-term thing? The long-term thing that is going to do good for you, the short-term thing that is going to look pleasurable in the short thing for you immediately. So, this concept, the way he brings out in this beautiful, and that Kalyani Ragam, that Kriti is, perhaps it must be the Kriti that has been sung the maximum number of times on a stage, most loved by all musicians. But if only some of us, I am sure there are a lot of wonderful people who enjoy the lyrical content of it, but when the song is happening, also if the audience can be enlightened about the lyrical beauty, and then if when the song is happening, including the singer and the audience, they relive the life of Chagaraja and then they get immersed in that bhava, I think then everybody is into Nada Yoga. No need for everybody to sing. The listeners are equally in raptures as much as the singer is in raptures. Because this is the music is there in everybody. But only if we can actually touch that point.
Bye.
So, Kirtanam in the Mokshamugalada, as Jagaraja says, Saint Jagaraja says, is multidimensional. Don't be confused that it is about one great singer singing and then others following and only some people can do it. That's wrong. So for us in Swami's organization particularly, we should keep it in mind that it's not that you are a bhajan leader or you are a bhajan follower or you are that or you are this. You can just be wherever you are and then you can be one with the bhajan and with the Swami just through the channel called bhajan. That's all. That's about it. So we should keep this in mind. It's not about a time, it's not about a sitting somewhere, it's not about a dress, it is nothing about it. It's about completely in unison with that, that is Samyak Kirtana. So I just expanded it a little more probably than the time we have, but I thought, you know, the Chagras Kriti is so rich because all his expression is in Kritis. That's why the Sankirtana, yes. Sankirtana Bhakti becomes a little longer for conversation because all his expression is in Kritis.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Amazing. And he always uses the word bhajana.
Bhajana, exactly.
For him, it is no devotional song, it is nothing else.
Yes.
It is always bhajana.
Bhajana. It is always bhajana because the word bhajana in Sanskrit, I feel, brother, is very, very important, very significant. Bhajana means, bha means the bhakti aspect or bhagavan or the divyam. Again, it comes to, refers to the self as I, divine. And jana is, refers to two things. One is that where it is born. Ja refers to birth.
Birth.
That where it is born. So where divinity is born, that is the heart. That is the Hrudayasthana. The head, heart, hands that Swami talks about. Head and heart, head and hand should be subservient to the heart. And in the heart, the bha, when it is janinchadam. The jana means janinchadam.
In the birth of the...
The birth of the divinity is bhajana. Now, when you are not focused and then you are not doing bhajana, if it is not born there, do you know what it is called in Sanskrit? It's called vibhajana.
Oh,
you
wow.
See, in Sanskrit, vibhajana means separation. It's cutting.
So bhajana is
bhajana
basically
is coming together.
Coming
vibhajana
together.
Means going away from each other. So that's the actual meaning of the word. So these are all etymological. These are all actually all Sanskrit words. As you know, there's nothing called actually word for the sake of the word or name for the sake of a name. It has a meaning. Rama has a name. Krishna has a name.
Just
everything
like you
has
have
meaning.
Bhakti.
Yeah.
And union with the Lord.
Exactly.
Vibhakti.
Vibhakti. Exactly. The same thing. Sanskrit is always like that.
Yes. If you can know whether you are in bhakti or not.
Correct.
If you have no vibhakti with the Lord, then exactly. You are in bhakti.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you look at Tyagaraja Kritis, there are so many Kritis which are on bhajana. So, I request all the Radio Sai listeners, sometimes when you have a little time, please go through Tyagaraja's literature, study these Kritis he has authored on bhajana. And we get so many dimensions of what is bhakti and then what is bhajana with bhakti. Like even Sangeeta Jnanamu Bhakti Vina is a very popular kriti, many listeners would know.
Sangeeta Jnanamu Bhakti Vina, Sangeeta Jnanamu Bhakti Vina, Sangeeta Jnanamu Bhakti Vina, Sangeetajnanamu Bhakti Vina Sammagamu Galade O Manasa. Sangeetajnanamu Bhakti Vina Sammagamu Galade O Manasa. Sangeetajnanamu Nadesh Samir Jagthataja Nyayamu telusunu jagamunu
మాయామయ మరి తెలుసు న్యాయము తెలుసు జగమును మాయామయ మరి తెలుసు దుర్గుణ కాయ జాది క్షత్రి పుల జయు క్షత్రి పుల జయు కార్యము తెలుసును జగరాదు సంగీత జ్ఞానము భక్తి విన సన్మార్గము కలదే ఓమర సంగీత జ్ఞానము భక్తి విన
So he says, without the bhakti, just people have sangeeta jnanam, the meter-based music and then very mathematical music and then you just keep banging your leg for the meter. I'm not trying to criticize, I'm just saying that these are the funny things that we humans do.
This is the technicalities.
The technicalities. We get so much into technicalities. We are very, very so particular about that being happening and all, which is fine. As an offering to the Lord, if you are so particular about the Thala Raga Bhava, that is very, very important. Bhava Raga Thala is Bharata is what Swami says, and that is Bharata culture. So you need to balance it out. However, Bhava Raga Thala, when you look at it, there is a little thought process I want to give here, brother, if you
desire.
Sure. See, Bharata, Bhava Raga Thala, Bha is first, Ra is next, Tha is the last, right, Bharata. But the approach, actually, we think it is inside out, but for somebody to understand what actually is Bharata, it comes from outside. Tha comes first, and Tha stands for Tala. And Tala is, if you see Tala Vayajyam, when you look at, which is the percussion instruments, most of them are made of skin.
Yes.
Right? So, when the fingers hit that, is the skin hitting the skin. And music is made out of that. Now, my theory here, which Swami had put as a thought in my mind, is that wherever the music originates from, to that extent only, it goes inside a man. So, when skin is generating music, it reaches till the skin. That's why you see that whether somebody knows music or not, wherever percussion is playing, people swing.
Yes.
Why does the body involuntarily swing? Because body is nothing but dehatma, is nothing but, it is annamaya kosha. It is nothing but a skin. And this has the nature of just swing. That's why you will say the tamasic way of enjoying music is just keep doing the beats and then keep dancing. We should understand how this, but that is okay as a first step. But you should quickly progress on to the next step called Ra. And Ta stands for tamasic also. Ra stands for rajasic. And this rajasic also means, now it is related to the mind. Because Ra is also ragam. Ta is talim and Ra is ragam. And it stands for Ra, is rajasic, and it stands for mind. Because raga is always fluctuating ups and downs. Mind is also going up and down. Raga also means attachment in Sanskrit.
Correct.
Mind goes for attachment. So, when you don't have attachment, it's called viraga or vairagyam. And when you have attachment, it's called ragam. That's why Swami says, be careful when you are singing, ragam ekkuva avuthe rogam avuthundi antaru.
He said, attention is too much on raga.
If you only try to keep doing, and then you pull the ragam here and there and all that, kitna chahiye, utna ye chahiye, jitna chahiye. You know, only that much wit is required for making the balancing out bhava raga thala.
Yes.
The beauty, and then Swami explains very clearly, if in many discourses, just to paraphrase Swami, when if a bhakta has to say Ramananu kapadu, if the bhakta says Ramananu kapadu, Rama, it doesn't sound, and now he says Rama, you won't even listen. And he says, if you say Ramananu kapadu, he says in Todi Ragam or something, it creates a pull, Swami says. So this is Raga. So what is Raga? Raga is attachment towards the divine principle. It is that which can pull. It has that property actually. You see, there is what is called in music, we call it Raga Bhava. There is what is called Raga Bhava, which has a magic pull. That's why even if you don't have words,
the sequence of notes is such that it creates that emotion.
Absolutely. If you look at all the Western classical music, for example, emphasis is actually more on sound and then the notes and then the moods rather than actually the lyrics.
Yes.
Beethoven, Mozart, you take all those things. The compositions are so divine and beautiful because they have reached the heights of actually the raga bhava. And through raga bhava, they create the bhava. But if that is lost out, it will result in raga pyrotechnics, you know. It's like the gymnastics with the raga, moving here and there and all. So if you are exhibiting Sangeetam as a kala towards the people, you'll end up in doing actually trying to do show how good you are in raga.
So you're operating from the mind.
Mind.
And you'll connect to the mind.
Connect to the mind, exactly. That's why a raga, an Andabhairavi can create happiness. A Todi can create sadness. And a Mukhari can create an introspection. So all these ragas, why are they creating moods? The moods are for the mind. And therefore, if raga is generated from the mind, it reaches till the mind. That's the second concept. And the third concept, now the deeper concept is that, if you are able to go to the bhava, which is the bharata, in the first one, bha, that is actually Bhagavat Tattva. Bhava, that is the deepest you can go in music. Bhava. Which is the, not the raga bhava alone, but the shabda bhava. And not the sabda bhava, but actually that bhava which is like the intellectual that opens out. Now, as I told you, talam reaches till the annamaya kosham, and then the ragam reaches till the manamaya kosham, but the bhavam can reach till the vijnanamaya kosham, which now is tapping on the anandamaya kosham inside. So it is the closest to the tattva, if you look at it. And those people who are, when they listen to a song, when they are focusing on the literature and the lyrics, and when you listen to something like Tyagaraja's lyrics, and you are able to connect to your own life and your own sadhana paddhati, you are now it is reaching somewhere else, and is opening out something. So, the question they ask is that, how are you using music, my friend? Brother, how are you using music? Are you using it at the skin level? Okay, it also serves the purpose, you can call it music. Are you using it at the mind level? That also serves the purpose, it causes. But, if you are able to reach to the buddhi, and then if you are able to integrate all the three and then listen, that is Bharata. So, Tyagaraja in Nada Yoga, he stood for the integration of Bhava Raga Tala. That's why he was a true Bharata, in that sense. And here, in this context, I just want to share an idea that Swami always gives me. Whenever Swami talks about Bharata, Bharata culture, lot of people have this kind of, I feel, a little bit of, I won't call it misunderstanding, but I would call it a primary understanding only, where we think that it means India. It means a country called India. No, this is very, very wrong. Swami has not come for India. Swami is for all. Swami is in all. Swami is all. Why will you talk about only a country called India, where Hindi is spoken and Telugu is spoken or Tamil, Oriya is spoken? How can we misunderstand? How can we be so narrow-minded? Now, this is the first mistake. So, we think, always immediately we try to link it up to some things like the patriotism is the most misunderstood word in this world. What is patriotism? The person you are calling is a great person for you. The other person is calling a terrorist. And who you are looking at terrorist from your country's point of view, the other person is calling, he is a great martyr.
Yes.
How come? So what is patriotism? How do you link it up with spirituality? And how do we understand therefore what Swami, when Swami says Bharata, how should we understand Bharatiyata? Swami is not talking about a country called Bharata, he is talking about Bhagavantuni Yandu Rakti Galavaru Bharatulu.
Yes.
Wherever you are. And whoever is attached to the divine principle through music or through anything else is always a Bharata. Wherever you are, doesn't matter. So, these are some associated thoughts that we are talking about, but it is very important.
I think it's very important.
Yeah.
But I think, but the elaboration that you gave of this Tala, Raga, Bhava, and I think at two different levels.
Right.
Starting from Annamaya Kosha, going up to Anandamaya Kosha.
Exactly.
And I think that is so profound, and I'm really grateful to you that you shared that, because as you mentioned before, the Sai organization is built on bhajans.
Exactly.
It has such an immense purpose in the organization. And if this understanding is there, and it will really help us to elevate our offering of music.
Absolutely.
And offer our being in the bhajans.
I think that's why Swami, through many of us, or each one of us, he expresses one thought or whatever thoughts like that, so that we get it right. But when I think about it, you know, I feel so happy that even with understanding a little bit or aligning with a little talam or a little ragam, if I'm feeling so happy.
Yes.
What can happen in our lives with music if we can integrate all three and really enjoy?
Yes.
I mean, there's no limit.
Yes.
We're in bliss.
You go in that continuum, tala, raga, bhava. But, you know, for good reasons, first it starts with bhava. I mean, that is the primary thing.
Correct.
Bhava should be actually overpowering the tala and the raga.
Exactly. Exactly. It should be overpowering. It should be the essence. It should be the heart. And then the other things are actually the yeah. supporting that supporting. The context. That's yeah. the context.
As someone very beautifully said, what you want to express right. is the bhava.
Right.
How you express it is you take the help of raga and tala.
Exactly.
It is like in a language, when you want to speak, you should know what you want to speak.
Exactly.
That is what is the bhava. And you know, you need a language to speak, so that the raga and tala provide.
Absolutely, brother. It's such a wonderful thought. And when you are saying that, what comes to my mind again is this, that we all hear Swami singing. And Swami was such a wonderful, with a mellifluous voice, and then he used to sing in his childhood. He loves singing. And but you know, as times went by, because of the over usage of the voice or whatever, we have seen that his voice failed him a little few times, and all these things we have seen, everybody knows. But he hardly cared. If you see, he tried to sing. Throughout his life, he tried to sing. And as a sign of that, for every discourse, he starts with a song.
Yes.
And his poem is a song.
Yes.
And many listeners would know that most of the poems that Swami sings are extempore compositions. Some of them, his own compositions, he sings again.
Yes.
They're all extempore. He's a padakavi. He sings to Chandas, in the Telugu. He sings to Chandas. There and there, he composes mostly in some kandam or whatever. He composes in that meter. And then he uses, he's such a free thinker, yes. that he uses English words, he uses, yes. He changes the words. Mm. So beautiful, if we go along with the thing, line of thinking of Swami, and then when he said, he gives a discourse, it's so amazing, because it's just the love. It's not that he is prepared, he is rehearsed, or he's trying to give us some song, it's just his love. And that's why he always goes into raptures whenever he tries to connect in some way or the other to Gopika Bhakti, and he sings the songs towards Gopika's and that Krishna Bhavam and all that. Amazing. So music is that. Someone who is into that, who can enjoy it, that Swami obviously is always enjoying the Bharata, all the three.
Yes.
And therefore, for someone who is always established like that, how can they be without music? That's why you will be singing 24 hours and then 365 days you listen.
You are mentioning also how Tyagaraja in all his kritis, he would start with a Pallavi and Anupallavi and Charanam. He would make a statement.
Yes.
And then there would be elaborations of that. You know, I was thinking Bhagavan's discourses. That's what he used to do.
Absolutely.
He used to first sing a few verse, you know, a few lines of a verse, and then the entire discourse is actually elaboration of that.
Yes, an elaboration or an explanation of that.
Explanation of that.
So beautifully connected. Yes, absolutely.
And it will end again with a bhajan.
Right.
Everything right. that starts should end and finally with a bhajan.
And then I think one more small aspect that which is closely linked to music, if we have a couple of minutes, brother. You'll see that particularly towards the later part, we know that Swami always mostly chose to end with either Bhajanabina, Sukhashanti or Prema Mudita. These are the two popular things that Swami used to sing towards the end. He sang so many bhajans, but he just simplified for everybody, because Swami, when he sings bhajan, of course that is for his enjoyment, but he is always sending across a message. And then in that message, Swami invariably, whatever he's talking, he connects it to Prema, and then somehow brings it to Prema.
Yes.
And he'll invariably connect it to Prema, and then he'll bring it. So what is this Prema that Swami talks about? From a musical point of view alone, I'll try to give my viewpoint right now. If you, for example, are sitting in a bhajan, a congregation, and if you're now tuned to the bhajan, the voice, the bhavan that is there, and probably a form of Swami that is in front of you there, or in your, as your eyes are closed, in your heart, and you are in that enjoyment, now please tell me, what is the feeling that is there in you? When you look at it, what is the feeling that has overpowered you? What is the feeling that actually has become you? You'll see that this feeling has dropped all differences. I mean, this requires a little careful analysis and look at ourselves when it happens. What I mean is that you wouldn't know, you wouldn't really think the person sitting next to you is different from you when you are lost in this bhava. They're not there, that point. As far as you are concerned, you as an awareness are the only thing that is there. And your experience is there. And everything else is a part of it. You are listening to multitude of voices, but that is also part of you. So, Prema, as Swami explains, is the oneness in the multitude. Unity in diversity.
Yes.
The feeling is Prema. It is not physical. The feeling is Prema. So, when you feel, if you feel the difference, you will feel the fear and then you will feel the hatred. From the other person. When you don't feel the difference, where is the fear and hatred? So Prema is not any extra. Now we think that it is from the Hollywood or Bollywood style, we feel that Prema is some sort of feeling like that is expressed. No. Swami says that Prema is the absence of two-ness. And once we catch this, the way we'll relate when Swami ever ends it with Prema and then sings Prema Mudita Manse Kaho, it is beautiful. It is really beautiful. Because this is the spiritual element that Swami gives.
Amazing.
And where does the answer that we are talking about Ramanavami and then Ramavidha Bhakti Marga Swami's Prema Mudita Manse Kaho Rama Rama Rama.
So the way to Rama is through Prema.
Through Prema. Exactly. So beautiful. Not through Kama, but through Prema. And then Prema is that unity. Kama is my selfish. I'm feeling. I don't want this to be taken away by the other person. It's only for me.
I think what you mentioned is really so profound in the sense that, you know, he leaves us with a live demonstration of Prema.
Exactly.
At the end of the discourse. Absolutely. He talks about love. Because really, as you say, when everyone joins in that singing, the whole atmosphere is so electrified, it is so one with him,
right.
And you don't want that to end, and the whole atmosphere is actually raised at a different level of consciousness,
so
where there's all differences just go into oblivion.
They think, yes, they absolutely, think. Absolutely.
And you experience that.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who is sitting next to you.
Absolutely.
As you very beautifully said,
yeah,
that experience of oneness,
yes,
he gives us that.
And that's where I think if we have to just add up in the first three steps of the Navavidha Bhakti, brother, the Smarana, third aspect, if we can just take up a little of that and then we delve on that. Chagaraja has composed many songs about Smarana, but there's one particular song that is on exclusively on Smarana. And in that he says, Smarane Sukhamu, Rama Rama. He says, Sukhamu, in this world all of us are trying to find happiness. And the research has clearly shown that every human being is trying for only one thing, whether whatever they do, good, bad, terrorism, charity, whatever, everybody is doing for only one purpose called happiness. Because they are thinking that they will get happiness through that. Because the thought makes us think that we get happiness through that, we are trying to get it outside. And then that clarification Chagaraja gives is that Sukhamu, there is nothing wrong in you looking for Sukhamu. He says, but he says, Smarane Sukhamu. So, in the opening Pallavi itself, he says that, what is Sukhamu? You all the life you have searched only for Sukhamu, isn't it? He says, this only, I'll tell you in a simple word, Smarane Sukhamu. He says, there's no better Sukhamu than Smarana.
Think of him, that's enough.
Now, when you look at it, I'll tell you. Right now, for example, brother, if I want a cup of tea, and I think that I want a cup of tea because I feel that the cup of tea is going to give me happiness. There's a process that happens. I feel that. But my mind, it has become such a habit that my mind doesn't really, it doesn't look like I'm longing for it, I'm waiting for that. But still I take it and I drink it because some part of my mind already knows, registered that gives me happiness. So I'm wanting to have that cup of tea. So I approach the tea, I have it. And as I'm having it, what is happening is that the tea is nothing but a combination of the water, the hot water and then some tea powder and whatever it is that is there. Suppose I am having the tea and I am enjoying the tea and then I hear a news from somewhere that tells me that something bad happened to some close family member, unfortunately. Now, I am having the tea. Perhaps I would have two more sips as I am listening to that. The same two sips might actually be the most distasteful sips for me. If you listen to that. Or it doesn't mean anything and I feel I might leave the half cup there. Suddenly, all the raga towards the cup of tea might become viraga for me. And each of us experience in daily life all these things, right? So, what has happened? So, the question therefore Chagaraja asks is that, is the sukham in the cup of tea? Or, is it something else which is your inner thing that has created that sense of sukham? So, we have to agree that it is not in the object and it is that sense, inner thing. So, what is that inner thing? That inner thing is the thought that it will give happiness. The thought of happiness is your happiness right now. So, that thought is called Smarana. So, he says, if actually, irrespective of the object, if it is your thought that can create happiness, then why not thought about that thing which is never perishing? Because everything else is changing your state of happiness because when it becomes cold after some time, the tea is not giving you happiness. The happiness changes, so the object has changed, because the object has changed. Or something has become bad. You expected a nice sambar, but the sambar was unfortunately done bad, and now you hate it. So, the object that is perishable, that is changeable, can never give you permanent happiness. This is known. And therefore, all the saints have said that, why didn't you shift your source of happiness to that which is never changing? And therefore the question comes, what is that which is unchanging? And that can be only Satyam is what Swami says. Because Trikala Bhadyam Satyam. That which never changed, which never changes, can be only truth. And what is the truth? That is what you and I, actually the happiness which is actually thinking that the source is outside is now. Swami gave the example of the dog and the bone. Right? He said the dog tries to cast the bone outside and thinks that the blood that is oozing out because of the bone that has stuck into its gum. And then there is a bleeding inside and its own blood is oozing out. It tastes the blood and it thinks the blood is coming from the dry bone. and he tries to do that more. So similarly, the happiness that is you is getting triggered somehow for some time because of what you took like a bone from outside. It has pierced, it has made you look inwards a little, and you experience yourself, and that is happiness. So you experiencing yourself, when you know, once you know that it is a mantra, then how can you get it always? You can get it only by anchoring with something that is unchangeable, because right now you are too changing, your mind is too wavery. You have to anchor and take the help of something that is ever changeless. And therefore he says, Ramanama Smaranya Sukham. And for that, that anchor for you, that stick, walking stick for you, is to Rama as Nama, Rama as Rupa. So Rupa Namas are the walking sticks for you. Rupa Namas are the anchors for you on the path of bhakti, which will make you not waver away from this thing. That's the first thing he says, Smaranya Sukham. I'll just share with you another interesting thing from Mahabharata, brother. In Mahabharata, there is a chapter called Sanasujatiyam, this parvam. Sanat Sujata was the fourth one in the Sanaka Sanandanas. Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanat Kumar, Sanat Sujata. These were the four of the Sanat, Sanaka Sanandanas.
The four
eternal sages. Wise sages.
Yeah.
And Brahma Manasaputras they were.
Yes.
And Sanat Sujata was a wise person. Of course, he was a realized person. And he was a guru of Vidura. Vidura learnt under Sanat Sujata. Now, Vidura was a very wise person, he was a brother. So, when all the 100 sons died, when Dhritarashtra was full of grief, the only solace was Vidura, and he was actually giving. And now, after coming out of this, now Dhritarashtra asks the first question. He says, all these days, I had self-pity thinking that my body was blind, Vidura. Then he says, for the first time I realized that actually, mentally or wisdom was I was blind. So, that's the meaning of Dhritarashtra, that which has fallen down. And Dhritarashtra refers to all of us who are thinking that we are Dehatmas and we have believed that we are body only. So Dhritarashtra, after everything is gone, after everybody died, out of all the grief, now he comes out because of Vidura's wisdom and he says, can you please tell me what is actually the objective of life? Vidura says a very interesting niti here. He says, Dhritarashtra, I can tell you, but he says, I should not tell you. He says, I should not tell you because I am anger to you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I tell you, you can't take it from me like the way it can be done from someone who you accept in a guru sthana.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, therefore, for telling you this, I can only invite and pray to my guru, who is Sanasujata, mm-hmm. who will come and then tell you. And then he prays to Sanasujata, he comes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sanasujata comes, he looks at Dhritarashtra and he says, what should I tell him? Because it seems the guru, the realist says, doesn't give a discourse always. It is only Swami's compassion that with all of us he gave so many discourses.
Mm.
But Swami, the realist says, doesn't give discourses. He says that, do you have any problem? I don't have enough time. Do you have any question? Ask me. I'll clarify. It's like that. You know, they're too busy. They have compassion for all human beings, but if people are intentionally there, they want to be in the world and they want to be ignorant.
Mm.
They try to tell them, but they don't want to be after them. He says that, hey, you know it. I mean, with so many people around you, Vidura, Krishna, everybody told you, still if you don't get it, what are you going to get from me?
Hmm.
I'm going to tell you, but is it going to be useful? So that's their viewpoint. They don't have enough time for unwise people, actually. So, but Vidura says, sir, this is my brother, he needs this. He's turning his life. He says, okay, fine. He says, ask me questions. So Dhritarashtra asks many questions. None of them are really pertinent so much, till he comes to a question. And he says, Swami, what is Maranam? Now he's just coming out from the grief of his children's death. What is death? He asks the question to Sanasujataya. And then he thinks he'll give some great discourse. He answers only in one word, one statement, phrase. Because he's like that Sanasujata. He says, Dhritarashtra, Maranam is actually lack of Smaranam.
Oh, wow.
And in Telugu, if it is written, he says, Vismaraname Maranam.
Vismaranam is Maranam.
Vismaranam is Maranam. So he says, in human life, suppose you say that you have had this body for about 70 years, 80 years, all those moments when you are not in the actual smarana of your real self is as good as Maranam. He says, it's not called life.
All those moments you are not living a life.
Not living. So if you look at it that way, the moments of life are very few.
Very few.
That's the significance of living in the presence of Swami or somebody like that. When you are there, you are elevated, you forget about yourself as a petty body and then you are with him. So that is Smaranam. That's the power of actually satsangam. That's the power of being in the company of the Lord. And that's why through the ages, sages and everybody prayed for that and begged for that to be just in the presence of Lord. Darshanam. The simple reason is that is the point when you are actually living. rest of it is. Now, towards that, everything else as step that is happening as smaranam or trying to do smaranam is towards that. So, actually, there's smaranam and there's a trying to do smaranam. Sometimes we are contemplating, we think that we are contemplating, we are not contemplating. The mind is still vague. We are taking the, assuming the role of this. So, one important thing about smaranam I want to therefore take from Sanasujatiyam is that smarana, when we talk about as bhakti, it is being, how can we ever stay connected? And towards this, Swami said in his discourses that it should be, the analogy he says is it's like taila dharavat. That's what it says. The Bhagavatam says there are many types of bhakti, but taila dharavat, which means that when the water is poured, there are breaks. Some solid is poured, there is, but when you pour a viscous liquid like ghee or oil, you see that there's no break. Because each drop takes from the previous drop and it stretches.
Yes.
So, like each drop is like a thought, and the thoughts are like a viscous fluid, and viscous is, in Sanskrit is called sneham. I don't know if you're aware.
Hmm.
So, sneham. Sneham actually means viscous. Sneham, why they use is that, it is towards Lord. Why we need sneham and then why we need that attachment to Lord is because that is like, there's no break in that.
It should be continuous.
Continuous. And that when there, somewhere, some small thought should be there about him, about ourselves.
All the time.
All the time. That's what Ramakrishna Paramahamsa says, that he gave the example of the women in the villages who go for getting fetching water.
Yes.
I'm sure you're aware of
yes.
that. Says that with all those things they do, pyrotechnics, so many, so many pots and so many things, with so much of chat they're having with their friends and all, somewhere the attention is there on that the pot should not fall down.
Yes.
They have a child at
holding a child on the arms. Yes.
So, if they can do it, this is always possible. So, only thing is to do that, I think somewhere the right shravanam should happen and enough ketanam should happen so that by the time the Lord has become a resident in our heart and therefore now smaranam becomes. You see. Therefore, we see how the sopanam is happening. So, without shravanam, kirtanam cannot happen. What goes in comes out. The computer language, gigo
yes.
or go
yes.
garbage in, garbage out, and then greatness in, greatness out. So, you listen to great things, greatness comes out. So, kirtanam, if some greatness, great feeling should come, and your kirtanam is going to inspire and motivate a lot more people, it should be based on a lot of greatness that has gone in. It cannot be just like that, that's happening. Therefore, proper shravanam. In fact, the ratio they say is that, you know that in Vedantic parlance, the sadhana patati is called Shravana Manana Nididhyasa Atma Sakshatkara.
Yes.
Four stages. What they say is that first thing, there also, like Navayudha Bhakta Marga, the first step is Shravanam. You should listen to anything if you want to learn. And then you should Shravanam Mananam. You should contemplate on that. You should revive here, reflect on that. And then after the reflection, Shravana Manana Nididhyasa. Then you should try for the practical application when the situations are coming. And after Nididhyasa, Sakshatkara happens.
Yes.
Which is the fourth step. And then it says that there's a ratio for all of these things. If you have listened once, you need to do mananam on that 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
If you did mananam 10 times, on that, for each of the mananam, you should do 100 times the effort to practice it.
Wow.
Or say 10 times. 10:10 ratio.
Mm.
And if you practice for 10 times with dhyasa, the sakshatkara you'll see in everything that's happening actually into 10 times. So, it says that there is a, it's a clear statistical way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Like the practice you do, you practice for 10,000 hours today, Harvard Business Review research says that you're going to be master in everything, anything. The expertise comes, they say, with 10,000 hours of practice. Similarly, when you do 10:10:10, this kind of thing, the 10,000 is happening. So even in spiritual sadhana, it's nothing but practice. That's why it's called sadhana.
Wow.
So all the transformation is all about practice. So the path is given, the method is given, but we just somehow don't get
it. Swami said you should sing a bhajan 100 times.
100, yes. Exactly.
Because you can actually...
Right.
Think that, you know, you can sing.
Exactly.
To take everyone along.
Absolutely. So, as we wind up just on this smarana, one line I want to highlight in the charanam, in the smarane sukamu. Chakraswami says, Rama nama shravanamu valla, nama rupame hrudayamu nindi, prema puttu seyagaleda, nishkama chagraja seyunama. He gives what happens if you are doing bhajana, if you are doing smarana. He says, if you are contemplating on the nama, first shravanamu valla, Nama Rupame, the Namam that you are singing, the Kirtana, Hudayamunindi, your entire heart right now is a mixture of some cultivated land and some uncultivated land, some weeds and then some prosperous things, because we are allowing everything. And then he says, if you fill it up only with Ramanama, if you fill it up only with what you want, which means it's all about priorities in life. If you fill it up, then he says, prema puttu seyagaleda. Now we'll connect to Swami's prema mudita manasuko. He says, if these two you can do, seven kirtana you do, and then you start just doing smarana, then he says automatically something is born inside you called prema. You have nothing that you can do about it. So the truth is that none of us can intentionally develop prema. Prema is a product or a result that happens because of a process you do.
Yes.
You can only do shravana, kirtana and then smarana. And then prema is a result that happens. It is not in our hands. It's grace. So Swami said, Satya Dharmam Shanti Prema. He is saying that, manava dhairyamu manchi eruvaga, manava dhairyamu, self-confidence is what you need manchi eruvaga. In spite of you are succeeding or not, you continue manchi eruvaga like a fertilizer. Prema dharale panta vittulaga. He says, you try to connect with everybody as Swami by putting this like seeds in that land. Wherever you go, sow the seed of thinking that this is also Swami like that. Then he says, Bhakte Varshamu. When you do first your job of cultivating and putting fertilizer and putting the seeds called Prema, he says, then Bhakti, actual Prema called Bhakti, it comes as Varshamu. Now you tell me, which human being has control on Varsham? Swami said, they sang this song. And he says, Bhakte Varshamu Bhavame Kalapur. Only after the Varsham comes the Bhavam, the saplings of greatness or the actual true love for attachment for Lord happens.
సత్య ధర్మము శాంతి ప్రేమలతో నీ నిత్య జీవన యాత్ర సాగించు జీవా
సత్య ధర్మము శాంతి ప్రేమలతో నీ నిత్య జీవన యాత్ర సాగించు.
యత్న ప్రయత్నము మానవ ధర్మము యత్న ప్రయత్నము మానవ ధర్మము జయాపజయము దైవాధీనం
సత్య ధర్మము శాంతి ప్రేమలతో నిత్య జీవన యాత్ర సాగించు
భక్తి తోడ భగవంతు తలచుచు నిత్య ధర్మము హృదయ భూములు సాగు చేయండి మీ హృదయ భూములు సాగు చేయండి మనసు మడకగా గుణములే ఎత్తు వివేక మను చలకోలను తీసి విశాలమగు మీ హృదయము తుంగో
సత్య ధర్మము శాంతి ప్రేమలతో నిత్య జీవన యాత్ర సాగించు
మానవ ధైర్యమే మంచి ఎరువుగా ప్రేమాధారల పంట విత్తులుగా మానవ ధైర్యమే మంచి ఎరువుగా ప్రేమాధారల పంట విత్తులుగా భక్తి వర్షము భావమే కలుపులు బ్రహ్మానందమే పండెడి పంట
శాంతి ప్రేమలతో నిత్య జీవన యాత్ర సాగినసు.
So all the wonderful devotees you see, where they have such love for Lord, is it because of something they have done? No, nobody is doing anything. They have done just a few things like following what great people have said, like, you know, doing Shravanam Kirtanam.
Perhaps doing those steps to cultivate your heart.
Cultivate.
That's all.
And then the magic is happening.
Magic will happen.
Magic grace is happening called Bhakti Avarshamu Bhavame Kalapuru. Then Swami says continues and ends it up saying that Brahmanandame Pandedu Panta. The final crop that comes, which is the result, is Brahmananda, he says.
Wow. As Bhagavan says, you know, you can only take that first step. That first step you have to take.
Right.
99 steps to reach God, only he has to bless.
Exactly. Exactly. So, these are some thoughts, brother. You know, in fact, we thought of Navid Bhakti Marga, but Swami took it in such a way that we could touch upon only three of them, to be honest.
I think this is a very beautiful starting point, and I'm very happy that we spent whatever amount of time we could trying to dwell in little bit of detail, because I think each thing is so profound that it can go on talking for days on each of this.
True, true.
But I think at least we experience that Anandam little bit, and maybe definitely let's pray to Bhagwan that we can continue this discussion and have on the other paths of devotion also whenever Bhagwan makes it happen. I'm really so happy that we are recording this in Shivam.
Right.
We started this discussion saying how Tyagaraja is actually the deity. The shrine there is of Lord Shiva.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Bhagwan has arranged it so beautifully because Rama himself worshipped Rameshwara.
Correct.
And you have Sai Rama who has set up this Shivam.
Shivam. Very true. Very true. Very beautiful.
And today Bhagwan has enabled for us to discuss on this very beautiful aspect of how to attain that Shivatvam, that Shivoham through the life of Saint Tyagaraja. Thank you so much, brother.
Thanks a lot, brother. Sai Rama.
Sai Rama. So, dear listeners, that brings us to an end of this discussion with Brother Kota Shivkumar. As you just heard, we recorded this in Bhagwan's abode in Hyderabad, in Shivam. And we really want to continue this discussion on the Navabhida Nada Yoga of Tyagaraja. We touched upon only the first three paths of devotion, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, and the list goes on. You have Vandanam, Archanam, Padasevanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam, and each one is so immensely profound, and each one is so beautifully experienced by Tyagaraja. And through his life, through his kritis, we get a sense of how we can also attain the Lord, how we can also attain that union with the Almighty. We will definitely undertake this discussion and continue it, taking each of these paths of devotion, because each one is a yoga. Music is not just an art. Music is a vidya. And vidya is that, as Brother Kota said, and Bhagwan has emphasized so many times, only that is knowledge which liberates us. And music is something which can grant us liberation. It is not entertainment. Music is enlightenment. And bhajan is the medium that Bhagwan has given us. So let us make best use of this beautiful gift of bhajans, of music that the Lord has given us, so that we lose ourselves in finding him, in loving him, and in becoming him. Thank you so much for being with us all throughout the day. We offer our deep sense of gratitude to Swami for this amazing opportunity of reliving such sublime moments and dedicating every moment of our lives in his love and in his message. Dear listeners, if you have any queries or comments on this program, please feel free to write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With heartfelt gratitude to Bhagwan, and thanks to each one of you for being with us through this wonderful journey, it's time now to draw the curtains on this beautiful Thursday. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.